At the far end of the clearing, he stopped. There was a man, lying on his back near a dirt pile. Matthew called out to him, "Are you all right?" The man did not answer. Matthew walked a bit closer until he was about 20 feet away. "Are you all right?" he asked again. Once again, there was no answer. Detective Mike Elliott was nearing the end of his 8-hour shift at the station when the transmission came over the radio. A guy down, a possible sudden, behind the Corliss Landing Industrial Park. Lieutenant Michael King of the Massachusetts State Police was coaching his son's Little League team when he got the call. He was already on his way down to the clearing. Assistant District Attorney Patrick Bomberg would arrive shortly after, along with uniformed police officers and members of the North Attleboro Fire Department. But North Attleboro PD Captain Joseph DiRenzo beat everyone else to the scene. The captain had left work at 4. He was less than a mile away from Corliss Landing when the call came in, and he showed up in shorts and a t-shirt at 5:38. DiRenzo saw right away that they were dealing with a homicide. "There were rounds and what appeared to be bullet wounds to the torso," he says. "When I knelt down and touched the body, I could clearly tell that rigor mortis had set in." The man on the ground was lying face up. His left fist was clenched over his chest, one of several places he had been shot. He was young. He was black. His eyes were half open. Flies were buzzing around the man's nostrils. DiRenzo made note of the sneaker prints that had been left in the dirt. He saw a baseball cap, a white towel, and a partially smoked marijuana blunt lying on the ground. And when he looked up, he saw something else. Dark, menacing clouds. A storm came in from the west. Soon it would rain. Heavy rain, which would wash away crucial pieces of evidence. "It could not have come at a worse time," DiRenzo recalls. "We have the body itself, tire marks, shoe prints, and rounds. All of a sudden, you could see the trees bending over, clouds moving in slow motion. It was a moment of, holy shit, we've got to do something here." The fire department had brought tents and tarps that the police could use to cover the crime scene. The cops worked quickly, trying to stay ahead of the storm. They measured, logged, and photographed as much as they could, but they also had to be careful not to contaminate the location. They needed to rush the investigation without rushing the investigation. Everyone had to park 100 yards away from the body in order to preserve the tire tracks. Everyone, including the firemen, had to wear boots and gloves or have the bottoms of their shoes photographed for comparison purposes in preparation for the eventual homicide investigation. The man had been standing when the first shot hit him. The detectives made note of the dirt the man's heels had kicked up as he fell. It was the kind of detail that a rainstorm would wash away. The man had been shot several more times after falling. "Boom, he goes down," the cops thought. "Then when he's down, boom, boom, boom." You could definitely tell. Somebody wanted to make sure he was dead. And the shell casings are right there, one in the dirt and 3 more in a little indentation in the ground right next to the body. They're all right there. Whoever did this was brazen. It's crazy, not even bothering to pick up the brass. The police put tarps over the tires and sneaker prints, set a tent up over the body, and covered the body itself with a tarp, placing rocks around the tarp's circumference to keep the wind from blowing it away. There was nothing more they could do before the storm passed. The rain lasted for 20 minutes, a half hour at the most, but it was heavy. 40-mile-an-hour gusts shook the trees that stood around the clearing. The temperature dropped by 20 degrees. When the rain stopped, a state trooper named Michael Chervin removed the tarp and went through the dead man's pockets. $64.75 in cash, keys for an Enterprise rent-a-car, a cell phone. "His cell phone?" one of the officers said. "For Christ's sake, you're gonna kill someone, take his cell phone." In the man's wallet, they found an ID. Odin Lloyd, 27 years old. The face in the photograph matched the victim's. Back at the station, the detectives gathered around another state trooper named Eric Benson, who called the car rental company. It took a few minutes. Benson paced back and forth with the detectives listening in on his side of the conversation.